be in John chapter number 11 today, if you turn there, please. Might help if you turn those fans on. Might cool it down a little bit. John chapter number 11, verse number 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And that's the title of my message today, He Whom Thou Lovest. Lazarus is a name which means God will help. It's similar to the Old Testament name of Aaron's third son, which also means the same thing in Hebrew, God will help. There's two men in the New Testament named Lazarus. If you'll consider just for a moment, those two men might help us to understand what we're reading here. Lazarus, he whom God helps, was the name of this brother of Mary and Martha of Bethany. If you'll read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, he's also the name of a beggar. He was hungry constantly. He was sick, and the dogs came and licked his sores. And yet his name was Lazarus. I want to stress this to you because many times we don't understand God's ways. Didn't he tell us that in Isaiah 55? My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. Why would a man be named Lazarus and be filled with sores and not have enough to eat and then die, no doubt from lack of nourishment, lack of medical care? And yet his name is He Whom God Helps. Well, look at the end of the story, because the Bible says Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He died, but that wasn't the end of it. So He Whom God Helps, the name of a beggar in Luke chapter number 16, compared with the rich man in that same passage. You know, God's help may not be visible at times, and sometimes it may not be what we think it ought to be. But if we can look at this man, this Lazarus of Bethany, it said of him in the last part of verse number 3, He whom thou lovest is sick. Now this is Martha and Mary writing to the Lord, evidently sending a note to him about their brother Lazarus. And they knew that the Lord loved him. And they knew that he was sick, and they knew it was important. It was a point of him maybe dying. He whom thou lovest is sick. I want to make this personal today because we read about people in the Bible and we're so thankful to know that these people were close to the Lord and he loved them. That's a special thing. That's not said about every person in the Bible that Jesus loved them. And we used to sing that song in Bible school all the time. Jesus loves me. This I know. But here's a man whose name is mentioned, and attached to that is He whom thou lovest is sick. He was very sick. He was going to die. And they were pretty sure of that. But what a powerful statement. He whom thou lovest is sick. Is there anything better that could be said about any human being? than that Jesus loved him. And yet, I hope those of us who are here today that have professed to know the Lord Jesus Christ have this same assurance. That's what I want to give you. Because we can have this assurance as we believe in him. Because the only reason we could ever believe in him is because he loved us. As John says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Jesus responds to this urgent message and a plea by saying in verse 4, this sickness is not unto death. He's not saying he's not going to die. He's just simply saying death is not going to be the end. Because I believe he knew that Lazarus was going to die. That's why he waited 4 days before he went to where he was. The Bible also tells us in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, all three in this family. Isn't it a wonderful thing in a family to all, everybody knows the Lord and the Lord loves them? Is there anything more comforting than that? To face the things of life that are very real. I mean, we all have a life to face. We have tragedies. We have problems. We have sicknesses. We have heartaches. But how comforting it is to read this. Jesus loved Martha. He whom thou lovest is sick. They knew that Jesus loved him. But he includes in John's record, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, Mary, and Lazarus. This entire family was loved of the Lord. And again, that's a wonderful thing. To have a family that all love the Lord Jesus Christ. When he heard, he did not panic. A good lesson in that for us, hopefully. Because when it's a serious illness, something serious, we tend to panic, do we not? I know I do. I get upset. But Jesus stayed where he was for 2 days. He didn't even leave the place where he was. He was about 2 days away. But he stayed right where he was for 2 days. In verse 7, and after that he saith to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. Now, why was he away from Judea? Well, the next verse tells us, his disciples said, Master, the Jews have sought of late to stone thee, and thou goest thou thither again? Are you going back to that place? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus, our friend, not just the friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, but his disciples knew him also, and I'm sure they knew Mary and Martha, our friend Lazarus, sleepeth. And remember, I've taught you this many times. When the Bible speaks of one of God's people dying, it talks about him sleeping. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. He had already died. Jesus knew that. He had already passed away. And I'm going to wake him up. What a comforting thought. With all that we have to undergo sometimes, that this is not the end. The one who's a master of the sea, the one who made all things, one who died on a cross, as I said last week, one who died on the cross is going to wake us up. How comforting. I want to wake him out of sleep. Now, he knew what he was talking about, but the apostles didn't. So then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Now, that's usually true, isn't it? If he's asleep, we like to sleep. We like to rest. It's so good when you've worked hard all day and you go in and you get ready for bed and lay down and immediately fall asleep and just forget everything. It's good. But Jesus said, "I'm going to wake him up." In verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death. He had died already. But they thought that he'd spoken of taking of rest and sleep. And Jesus said unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Lazarus is dead. That's something we don't like to think about. We don't like to talk about, but it's something that's a part of life, is it not? Every day we hear sad stories about people leaving this world in tragic ways, in tragic circumstances. But you know, Bethany was close to the city of Jerusalem, and Jesus had been already threatened with death by the Jews. But he's going to go back there anyway because he has the power of life and he's not afraid of a few stones. He'd escaped out of their presence several times, if you remember the scriptures. And then said Thomas, which was called Didymus, verse 16, unto his fellows, "Let us go also that we may die with him." Now, here's a man who is bold and brave. Same Thomas that doubted. We always call him Thomas the Doubter, but he's not doubting here. And he said, "Let us go with him, that we may die with him." Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. He had been dead and buried for 4 days. Verse 19, many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here." What a powerful verse this is. If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. That's the way we think humanly. I can remember my dad when he passed away. I thought, if they could have just cut him to the hospital. You're trying to get him to the hospital, and they had the roads all blocked off because they were paving the highway. And he couldn't get to the hospital, and he died after he got there. And I've often wondered, foolishly, what if he'd got there? Well, it wasn't God's will for him to get there. I understand that now after studying the scriptures. I'd been saved a long time when my dad died, and I missed him terribly. Death is a strange thing that we don't like to deal with, but it's very real. I knew that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. If you'd been here, you'd not died, but nonetheless, you can bring him back to life. She knew that. Jesus saith unto her, verse 23, "Thy brother shall live," or "shall rise again." Thy brother shall rise again. He used the term rise instead of live again. Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She wasn't like the Sadducees. She believed in the resurrection like Job. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Is this what you believe, Martha? She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." What a testimony. She's just like Peter. That's what Peter said. Almost verbatim what Peter said when Jesus asked him. "I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, and secretly, saying, "The Master has come and calleth for thee." This is a very touching portion of scripture to me. The family was really affected by this death. This brother that these two sisters loved And yet God in his wisdom and in his will and for his purpose, remember what Jesus had said earlier, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Not everything that happens that's bad is really bad. Do you believe? Yea, Lord, I believe. Now, if you're here today and you're saved, as I said, I want to make this message personal because I think it is personal. It applies to this family, but it also, because it's scripture and because of the person who's speaking these things, it applies to all of us if we know the Lord. Martha's confession, powerful confession. But then she goes to Mary and told her, the Lord calleth for thee. That's a good thought. The Lord calleth for thee. Not unto salvation. She's already saved, but he calls for her to come. He knows what she's experiencing. He knows she's hurting. He wants to comfort her. He wants to show her that this is for the glory of God. Let's read on. Verse 31, the Jews then were with in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. And then said, and then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Same thing that her sister said. They really believed in Jesus Christ. They knew who he was. They believed the power that he had. If you'd just been here. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with her, came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He groaned in the spirit. Think about this. He was going to raise him from the dead. He knew he was going to raise him from the dead. He'd already said he was going to raise him from the dead. He was going to wake him up. But it did not keep him from being troubled and groaning in his spirit because he saw the sorrow of these people because of the death of this man. And then he asked, verse 34, where have you laid him? And verse 35 says, Jesus wept. Not only was he troubled in his spirit and groaned in his spirit, but he wept. We need to know these things. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's touched by our needs, by our pain, by our concerns. Let's read on. Verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by now or by this time he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. She knew the process of death, and really, he should have been in that condition, but he wasn't. Verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead, come forth, or came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Now, the real important part of this that I want to stress upon you today The Bible's clear on this. His sisters knew that the Lord loved him. He whom thou lovest is sick. Verse 5 tells us that Jesus loved them. He loved Martha, he loved her sister, and he loved Lazarus. So there's no doubt at all about this situation. But the question I'd like to address to you this morning is, how long had he loved them? I think this is important to God's people to understand this. Now, we normally think of, I know the night I walked down the aisle and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, made a profession of faith, the Lord loved me. No. You need to go back a little further. Jesus didn't begin to love Lazarus when Lazarus met him in the flesh. Because the scriptures are clear on this. Jesus loved Lazarus before he made the world. Now you need to think about this, beloved. We need to make this alive in our hearts and minds. We love him because he first loved us. Well, when did he first love us? How far back do we need to go? Now in our human thinking, we don't go back any further than the night we walked down the aisle weeping, saying, I want to be saved. We came in contact with Jesus in our way of understanding. But let's forget about our feelings and our understanding. Let's get back to the scriptures. We turn to Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 4, and see what the Bible says about Lazarus. How long before Jesus raised him from the dead did Jesus love Lazarus? He whom thou lovest is sick. How long had he been loved of the Lord? Well, in the scriptures in Ephesians 1 and verse number 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. We don't easily grasp this, but it's truth. He hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Why did he choose us? Because we were better than others? Were we more dedicated than others? Was it because we loved him more than others? Or was it not because he loved us in spite of what we are? He set his love upon us. And this is not the only place we read this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, I'll read this to you. Because I want you to grasp this if you can possibly. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Well, when did he love us? When did he begin to love us? Did he go to Bethany one time and see Lazarus there and then he loved Lazarus? Did he see something in Lazarus that made him love him? Did he see something in Martha that caused him to love her? Did he see something in Mary that caused him to love her? I know she was special. You know how much she loved the Lord when she took that alabaster box of ointment, very precious, and broke it and put it on his head and then wiped his feet with her hairs. Notice this passage in 1 Thessalonians, verse 13. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. When did he begin to love us? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus said concerning Lazarus, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. What was he talking about? Why did he let Lazarus die? It caused a lot of hurt. It caused a lot of pain. It caused a lot of question in this family. If thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died, but he did die. Why did he die? That Jesus Christ might be glorified in raising him from the dead. But let's, again, scriptures don't mean much to you unless you make application personally. When did the Lord, if you're hearing say that, when did the Lord begin to love you? Does not the scripture teach us that the love of Jesus for Lazarus didn't begin when he met him, didn't begin when he knew his sister, didn't begin when he stayed in her home? No, he had an everlasting love for this man. Reached back into eternity before he made the worlds. 1 Peter 1 and verse 20. Peter talks about this also. First chapter of Peter, the first verse. I'm sorry, the first chapter and verse 20. 1 Peter 1 and verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He was foreordained to die. Did he die as an experiment? As most of the world tries to convince you that Jesus died to see how many he could save? His death was not a purpose, but it was a purpose. He died for those that he loved. The Father had given him. John chapter 17, seven times in that one chapter, Jesus said, those that thou hast given me. They were given to him by the Father. He didn't die as an experiment. He died for a purpose. He died to call those unto him that he loved in the council halls of eternity. Revelation 13, 6. We'll read this and we'll not try not to scatter around anymore, but Revelation 13, 6. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Talking about Satan, actually the Antichrist. Power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The book's already written. The names are there. This is not an experiment of God to see how many some preacher could beg down the aisle, to see how many the family could weep and mourn over because they wouldn't make a profession of faith. No. This is not an experiment. This is an action taken by the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem all that the Father had given him. I preached last week, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And he'll draw everyone that he gave to the Son. And Christ will die for everyone that he gave to the Son. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Restriction is not with God. Restriction is in our loves. What we want for ourselves. Jesus loved Lazarus before he met him. He met him on the face of this earth. He went into his home several times. But is there a greater knowledge today? Didn't they know that Jesus loves me? Is that song we used to sing so often in Bible school, Jesus loves me, this I know. Then he goes on to say, for the Bible tells me so. Not because of some feeling that I have, not because of something that someone wants me to do, but Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. His word is, all that cometh to me, I'll in no way cast out. Jesus loved Lazarus before he met him. And I don't know of a greater knowledge than that. The same is said of Martha and Mary. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, Paul says of himself, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. You would do well to accept this. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." You need to understand that. Paul said of himself. Multitudes have said the same thing and believe the same thing. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Why did he come to save me? Because he loved me. We love him because he first loved us. His love goes back into eternity. If his love goes back before there was any world, before there was any time. Now we meet him in time, but he knew us eternally. Before time. Jesus said in John 16:16, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should be my witnesses." You've not chosen me. We hear this sickly preaching. Why don't you choose Jesus? As if somehow, as a human being, we have the ability to lay hold on God. It's all backwards. God lays hold on us. He laid hold on us before he made the worlds. He wrote the names of his people down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And in time, Jesus Christ came and died for him. And in time, the Spirit is coming to make everyone that's his aware that he loves him. Jesus loves me. This I know. And the only assurance you can have, it's not a feeling. Don't wait for a feeling. You'll never have it. It's biblical. The Bible tells me so. So those of you who are saved today, when did you begin to love the Lord? Well, when you were aware. When the gospel came to you in power and you were convicted of your sins and you knew Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. That's when you met him. But don't you understand what the Bible says? He met you long before time. Say, "I can't grasp that." Well, you don't necessarily have to grasp it, but you could believe it. Martha believed, did she not? "I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world." That's all she said. What more can we believe than that he is indeed the Christ and that he loves us? He loves us. And John says, therefore, we love him because he first. And that first, sometimes we overlook that. What does it mean he first loved us? When did he first love us? Not when we sit in church and heard the gospel preached. No, that was real. It's a part of God's dealing with us and God's convicting us of our sin and God showing us that we needed to be saved, but he knew us long before that. Something you need to think about that we kind of overlook. God's providential purposes, the things that he does to get us even under the gospel. This world is full of people blinded by ignorance, blinded by religion that never will come to Christ. They're blind. They can't see. But you've been privileged to sit in the church and hear the gospel of the grace of God. He loved the unlovable. I was not lovable. I was a sinner. I was going my own way, doing my own thing, having my own fun. But God interrupted me. Paul refers to it in his testimony as God arrested him in the Philippian letter. God arrested Paul on the road to Damascus. Like an officer would pull you over and put you in chains and take you down to the jail. Well, the Lord arrests his people. And the gospel comes in power. He knew you all along, but you didn't know him. But if you're saved, you know him now. And you rejoice that you can say, as they said of Lazarus, in our text, now Jesus loved Lazarus. No, I'm sorry. He whom thou lovest is now sick. That's what the sisters said of Lazarus. But it says further in verse 5, Jesus loved Martha. Now Martha was cumbered about much serving, and the Lord chided her for that. Mary was sitting at his feet, listening to his words. We're all different. Martha was saved because the Lord loved her. Mary was saved because the Lord loved her. She did what she did because the Lord loved her, and she loved him. Martha loved the Lord. She knew some things. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Sound like Job, doesn't it? I read that to you a few weeks ago. She knew some things. She was saved. She wasn't Mary. She didn't anoint his feet with oil, wipe them with the hair. I think I said her head earlier. But she didn't love him any the less. We're not Martha. We're not Mary. We're not Lazarus. But, beloved, if you're saved, because you know one thing, Jesus loves me. Just that simple fact, Jesus loves me, this I know. He came into the world to save sinners, and I'm a sinner. And I have this assurance that when he died, as the song says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, yet he loved me. He knew my shortcomings. He knew my stumblings. He knew I wasn't and would never be what I ought to be, but he loved me anyway. That's love, beloved. That's love. It's indescribable. He loves sinners. And he called sinners unto himself, that he might bestow glory upon them that they don't deserve and they could never deserve. But when you know that, you know Jesus loves you, it affects your life. Can't get away from it. You can get away from the Lord, and you can get backslidden. You can get in a miserable state, really. You can get like old Lot. Be up in the mountain committing incest with your daughters. You can do a lot of things, but if Jesus loves you, it's not because of who you are, because of who he is. He's that kind of a person. He loves the unlovable. He loves the undeserving. He loves those that could never, never merit what he's going to do for us. That's why we worship him. That's why we come to church. That's why we sing his songs and we pray for one another. We know he's able to do more than we ask or think. We're like Martha and Mary. If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Question this morning for you is, do you know him? Do you know him? If you know him, he's known you a long time. That's frightening when I think about my life and some of the things I did, but even when I was out in sin, he still loved me. And he brought me under the Spirit of God and under the preaching of God. And you know, our brother said the other night, and I liked this statement, he said, preaching is hard on you sometimes, but isn't it better than being wrapped around a telephone pole? Because preaching is a form of love. God could do a lot of things to you, but when he's working with you to bring you to Christ, preaching is a lot better than being deathly sick. It's a lot better than what God could do to you like he's done to others. He could make you like Job, so miserable you wish you were dead. But just preaching to you? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so we preach, and so we trust the Holy Spirit of God to help you to know. If you love the Lord, He loved you first. So don't stagger at that, and don't get confused at that. If He didn't love you first, you wouldn't love Him. That's what John says. We love Him because. The cause and effect. We love Him because He first loved us. May God help you to understand this. If you're saved, give glory to God. Be thankful. He brought you out of sin, a wasted life, put you in a church where you can be preached to rather than wrapped around a telephone pole. And the Lord loves you. He loves you. Bow your heads. Father, we thank You for Your word.